Hello everyone and welcome to episode 45 of season 1 Reading with Grace, where we will continue reading The Unwanted's Island of Legends. Today we will be picking up from chapter 29, but first a recap of chapters 24 through 28. Alex and his crew have started their mission to save Sky and Crow's mom, and left Miss Morning in charge of Artemy. Aaron now has the jungle creatures as his secret weapons, and believes he can control them to help take over Artemy. He sent Secretary to take Liam out of the Ancient Sector and to check on Gondolieri for dinner. When Eva got to Gondolieri's house with Liam, Gondolieri was acting very strange and her eyebrows were missing. Alex told his crew the plan for the rescue mission and revealed to them he also wanted to save the imprisoned sea creatures on Pirate Island as well if they were possible. And at the end of chapter 28, there was a slithering creature no one noticed in the water coming towards them. That's the end of the summary. Enjoy the episode! In over her head. While everyone else watched the lava works display, Simber sampled the air and snapped to attention, looking all around.
Something's wrong, he growled.
Alex turned sharply. What is it? Screams and shouts rang out as the head of an enormous electric eel rose out of the water. It bumped against the ship, making the deck shudder.
Everybody get below, Florence shouted. Giant eel!
The Artemans fled in all directions. The eel began wrapping itself around the ship, slipping its tail end up over the port side, railing while its head slithered up the starboard side and onto the deck. Florence lunged for the head, tipping the ship precariously. Everyone on deck tumbled to the side, unable to go anywhere of their own free will. Simber torpedoed through the air to assist, grabbing the eel's tail into his jaws. But the slippery creature slid free and slapped Simber with a powerful blast to his head, knocking the cat off balance and sending him careening toward the water. He soared back up, shaking the nonsense from his head after the blow.
No! Alex cried, coming to his senses and staggering to his feet. Come on, guys! Attack!
He rummaged for a spell, shooting off blinding highlighters at the eel's eyes. Its eyes sparkled with fire, and Florence cried out. She released her grip on the eel's head as if its tail lashed this way and that, seeking its next victim.
Look out! Sing cried as the eel wrapped its tail around Karina.
Karina began firing off every spell she knew, even using heart attack spells at the creature, but nothing seemed strong enough for such a beast. The eel lifted her into the air and flung her overboard into the sea. Florence let out a war cry like nothing any of them had ever heard before. She rolled to the other side of the deck, sending every human and creature on the ship tumbling again as she reached for the eel's tail. Simber, back in the air above the ship, went after Karina as the slithering beast grabbed for the fox necks, flinging him far across the water in the opposite direction.
Meow, meow, meow,
screamed Kitten from somewhere on the ship.
Hang on, everybody, Florence yelled, and then to Simber. I've got this, Sim. You take care of everyone else.
She lunged once more, sending Henry and Sam Heed flying overboard into the water. Simber zoomed overhead, depositing Karina on the deck, once the ship righted itself again and going after Fox. Florence closed a two-handed grip around the tail of the giant eel's tail. The eel jerked wildly, trying to escape from Florence's grip. It hissed as Florence dug her iron fingers into the creature and began to pull the eel by the tail. It writhed and twisted all the way around the hull of the ship, and it clamped its mouth into the ship's railing to stop Florence from pulling it any farther. Captain Ahab, carrying his wooden leg, which had been knocked loose in all the commotion, began to slam the eel over the head with it. From the ropes, Miss Octavia unleashed an arsenal of magical spells on the creature that half the humans had never heard before. The eel let out a scream as Florence yanked it, and then its mouth let go of the railing and its head jerked down below the water. Florence scrambled to her feet, balancing precariously with one foot on each side of the ship, and began coiling the eel. Simber soared in and dropped Fox into the ship.
Are you sure you've got this? Simber roared at Florence.
Would I lie to you? Florence shouted back.
Simber! Alex yelled. Over there! He pointed out Henry and Sam Heed. Simber glanced at the boys bobbing in the water, looking back at Florence, and hesitated in the air. Then he followed Alex's instructions and flew over the sea to rescue the boys.
Just then, the eel's body twisted in Florence's hands. Its tail sprang loose from her grip and lashed out, slapping her across one cheek and then the other.
Electric sparks shot up and arced like fireworks raining down on the ship. Florence lunged and staggered as the head of the eel rose up and struck at the giant statue. The ship rocked. The eel twisted itself around Florence in jerks and spasms. Florence stumbled, her arms pinned to her chest and her stride shortened by the eel's grasp. She lost her balance, fell backward, and sat down hard, crashing through the deck, her backside coming to rest on the deck 10 feet below.
The eel screamed and lurched wildly to the port side. With a mighty twist, it lifted Florence's body up and out of the hole, as if she weighed nothing at all. The eel wound around the ebony warrior like a bandage, and then, as a unit, they rolled to one side. Florence, arms tight to her chest by the eel, managed to loosen a hand from the creature's grasp. She flailed blindly, grabbing the railing, and shouted a muffled, "Everybody hang on!" Sibber reached the boys in the water and turned to see what had happened.
"Are you okay for a bit?" he asked them.
They nodded.
"I'll be right back," he growled and barreled toward the ship.
Before he could reach it, the ship groaned and tilted precariously, throwing everyone off their feet once more. With one last lunge against the railing, the eel flipped Florence and drove her over the side, but she wouldn't let go of her grip on it. The eel smashed its head against Florence's hand, forcing her to loosen her grip. Florence hung on for a breathless second, her mummy wrapped body dangling over the water.
"Sibber!" she called, sounding oddly calm. "As it turns out, I may need a little help after all."
Her hand slipped the slightest bit, giving the entire ship a tiny jolt. Sibber roared. He reached his front legs toward her, dodging the wailing tail of the eel. Stone clinked against stone as Sibber's paws encircled Florence's forearm. When her fingers let go of the railing, Sibber beat his wings with all his might, pulling up toward the sky. But Florence, wrapped in a giant eel, was too heavy, and Sibber was too late to do anything else. With a sickening scrape, Florence's arm slid through Sibber's grasp, and with an enormous smack, Florence and the eel hit the water and disappeared. Like a catapult, the ship sank back, throwing everybody on board into the sea in the opposite direction. One by one, the shouts and cries of the airborne stopped abruptly as the Artemians hit the water. Only Sibber's roar never ceased. When the ship had righted itself, it was clear there was nothing that anyone could do about Florence, except hope for her to gain the upper hand against the eel and fight her way back up. Sibber turned sharply and shouted for Alex.
"I'm here! I'm fine!" Alex called out a short distance from the ship. "Does anybody have Kitten?"
"She's in my pocket!" Henry yelled from the other side of the ship. He ran down and pulled her out, lifting her above the water's surface.
"Is everybody okay?"
"Fine," grinned Corona, who had been flung into the sea twice now.
"All the humans are accounted for. Creatures? Statues?"
"Yes, we're all here," Miss Octavia said. "I'm going after Florence." She dove below the surface and disappeared.
"Blast it!" cried Captain Ahab, who had entangled himself in a rope for safety and was the only one to remain on board.
"My leg! I've lost it again!"
His shout ended with the hiccup of a sob.
"Oh, you shimmering beast! You wear a facade, but I know 'tis you, you simmering barrel of blubber!"
"But what can Miss Octavia do about Florence?" Skye called out. "Even her magic wasn't working against the eel." She paused, then added, "Can Florence swim? How will she get back?"
Sibber, silent now, lowered himself to hover just above the water. Alex grabbed a wing on its way down and vaulted onto Sibber's back. Crow followed, and Sibber flew to assist the others. He began rumbling under his breath.
"Florence!" Alex called, and the others joining in.
"Florence!"
He scanned the water, silently begging Florence to surface. Soon everybody was back on board the ship and craning their necks over the sides, looking for any sign of their magical warrior or instructor.
"Sibber," Alex said quietly, fear creeping up attuned to his throat.
"Do you know if Florence knows how to swim?"
"What?" Sibber looked at him, alarmed. "You told me everybody on board, but Kitten and Ahab could swim."
Everybody turned to look at Alex.
I guess I forgot about Florence," Alex said in a small voice. "I wasn't going to bring her on this journey initially, so when I was reviewing the list, I must have just gotten distracted and forgotten to ask her like I asked everybody else."
He looked down. "And in all my planning, I never pictured something like this happening. I mean, did you? Besides," he said, feeling increasingly defensive, "Florence is... she's supposed to be invincible."
"Invincible?" Sibber looked sharply at Alex. "You mean just like Mr. Today?" he asked. His voice grew even louder. "Just like me? What's wrong with you, Alex? Think, boy."
He plucked Ahab's wooden leg from the water, dropped it to the deck with a clatter, and soared high overhead, circling the ship, peering down at the water, as the first sliver of the sun came up and the last blotches of fire lit up the sky. The others shuffled their feet, throwing uneasy glances Alex's way. No one liked to be yelled at by Sibber, but Sibber was yelling at Alex, the head mage? It was mortifying. There was nothing worse than Simber's disappointment, except perhaps his silence.
Alex stood at the railing near the gaping hole in the deck created by Florence's backside, his pride and confidence stinging from the public verbal slap from his closest confidant. He wished he could disappear. Simber had never spoken to Mr. Today like that, not in front of anyone at least. It made Alex feel like a child. He didn't see Lonnie looking on with sympathy, unseen and Karina in a heated conversation with Sam Heed in the corner, or the captain crawling over to retrieve his wooden leg. What could Alex do? If she couldn't swim, Florence was most certainly at the bottom of the sea by now. Miss Octavia couldn't bring her back to the surface any better than Alex could. He was tempted to jump in heroically in an attempt to rescue Florence, but that was something that younger Alex might have done, and it would only cause more trouble in the end. The only question Alex couldn't face was the one that plagued his thoughts now. Sure, Simber had survived weeks stuck at the bottom of the sea, but that was when he was essentially put to sleep. The magic had been put out of him. His world didn't exist. But what happened if a creature or statue was alive when it happened? Did statues breathe? And if so, could they drown? An unsettling rift. Many intense minutes passed as the reality of the situation hit them. Florence, whom no one ever thought to worry about, was gone, and she didn't seem to be coming back. Sunk to the bottom of the sea, possibly drowned by a giant sparkling eel. Finally, Miss Octavia burst through the surface and sucked in a long breath and another. "Did you find her?" Alex shouted. "Is she okay?" Miss Octavia held up a tentacle until she could speak. "She's gone," the Octagator said finally. "Gone?" Lonnie gasped. "Like, dead?" No, sorry. I mean, she's not nearby. The eel dragged her away. I caught a glimpse of them heading in that direction at top speed." Miss Octavia pointed to the west, beyond the fiery island. "I followed for a bit, but the eel was going much faster than I could ever go, and soon they were out of sight." She paused to cover her face for a moment. Alex thought he heard a sob, but then Miss Octavia dipped her face down into the water again and wiped it off with a big sigh. She reached for a rope and scrambled up the side of the ship. When Simber swooped down to help, Miss Octavia waved him away, as if she couldn't bear the sight of him. Once on board, she began to construct a new leg for the captain, like she always did, not realizing Simber had found the old one this time. Alex looked at Skye, needing desperately to talk about this latest disaster. This was too big for him to handle alone. She held his gaze, and they walked carefully around the hole in the deck to meet at the quiet spot, all awkwardness between them immediately pushed aside. "Look, Alex, it's not your fault," Skye said. "Florence isn't a child. She's a grown woman. Statue. Whatever. She knew the risks of being on the ship. Plus, she told Simber she could handle it." "And besides that," Alex said, "nobody could have predicted there was anything powerful enough to wrestle Florence off a ship and into the sea." He was still stunned that such a sea creature existed, let alone one so unaffected by their magic.
"Exactly.
But," Alex went on, "I still feel responsible. I'm in charge. And like Simber said, I should have known if she could swim or not, because maybe Simber would have been able to do something different or sooner if he'd known."
"It's not like Simber was just sitting around. He was doing some pretty important things, too," Skye reminded him.
But Alex pounded his forehead in frustration. "Another stupid mistake," he said, thinking about Spike. "What are we going to do without Florence?" Skye rested a cool hand on the back of his neck.
"You're being too hard on yourself," she said.
He pulled away. "You don't know the half of it." Skye's hand jerked back like she'd been stung.
"Wow, sorry."
Alex sighed. No, I'm sorry. You were being awesome, as usual," he said, feeling totally miserable. "I'm just mad at myself." He looked past her over the water. "I don't know what's wrong with me these days." Skye pressed her lips together and stood there awkwardly, not knowing what to say. She didn't want to make things worse, so she said nothing at all. Simber kept his distance, aloof, mourning in his own way. Sam Heed approached Alex and Skye, his hair wild and standing every which way from the dousing.
"It's my fault, Al," he said. "I told you to add Florence to the list at the last minute. I didn't think."
"Thanks, Sam. I really appreciate it. But it's not your job to think," Alex said, knowing he sounded like a jerk, but unable to stop himself. He raised his voice, wanting to be sure Simber picked up on it. "It's my job to think of everything. Didn't you hear? Didn't everyone hear?"
Sam Heed opened his mouth to shoot off a retort, but Skye caught his eye and her look stopped him. She took Sam Heed by the arm and led him a few steps away, whispering,
"He's upset about Simber, not you. And Florence, of course. Any chance you can let this one slide?"
Sam Heed frowned, but then shrugged. "I guess I could let one dumbhead remark go, just this once." Alex, gazing off over the water, turned abruptly and went down the stairs to the deck below to get away from the cat and nurse his wounds. To his pride, and also to his heart, from the loss of their beloved Florence. The quest continues. There was little time to mourn. After a while, Alex realized the captain was waiting for instructions. And since the volcanic activity had halted and Pirate Island stood quiet, he knew they needed to make their approach before it was too late. Florence would have wanted them to continue with the quest. Alex knew that well enough. He made his way back to the top deck. "To the island, Captain," Alex said. The ship, sturdy and strong as ever in spite of the hole in the main deck, was soon sailing along at a fast pace, and the subdued passengers tried to forget their shock and sadness by cleaning up the mess made by the rocking ship. Alex ignored Simber, even though he was dying to ask him if he knew anything more about Florence, like, did she breathe? But he couldn't bear to be publicly rebuffed again for failing to find out if everyone on his team breathed or not. Who even thinks about such things? Besides, finding out the answer now didn't matter. She was either dead or alive somewhere in this vast sea, and either way, they'd probably never see her again. Simber flew out ahead of the ship now, perhaps so that no one could see his face. "Not that I care," Alex muttered, rather incoherently. He needed a plan now that they didn't have Florence. It was with great pain to his soul that he realized they didn't actually need Florence to punch a hole through the glass skylight. Simber could do it just as easily. So she could have stayed safe in Artemis after all. Of course, then it probably would have been someone else getting dragged off by the eel. Probably Simber. "Not that I care," he muttered again, louder. Miss Octavia looked at him. "When people say that," she said, "they usually mean the opposite. And I suspect you care a great deal about whether it is you're struggling with." The Octagator swished over to Alex. "Did I miss something?" Alex laughed bitterly. "Yeah, you could say that." "Do you want to talk about it?" Alex looked at Simber. He was sure the cat could hear. The cat hears all and knows all. Alex had that ingrained in his memory well enough by now. "No, thank you." Miss Octavia followed Alex's gaze. "Ah, I see." She put a tentacle on Alex's arm. "He's feeling guilty, thinking you should have saved her. They were very close friends, you know," she said, turning to look at Alex. "I just realized how alike you two are. No wonder you finally clashed." Alex turned toward Miss Octavia and studied her for a moment. "You've lost your glasses," he said finally. "Yes," she said with a rueful smile. "They're at the bottom of the sea now. Siggy will find me another pair from his costume box once we get home, I suppose." Alex's chest tightened. Tears sprang to his eyes. He remembered the last time Miss Octavia had lost her glasses, on the day Artemis came back to life. Alex had picked them up for her, overjoyed at the sight of her, yet still heartbroken because he had to tell her the news that Mr. Today was dead. Now, with Florence gone and Simber mad, he leaned forward, elbows on the railing, and buried his face in his hands. "I'm so sorry," he choked out. Miss Octavia patted Alex's back. "There, there," she said. "It's just a pair of glasses. And I'll tell you a secret. They were purely for vanity. I assure you I can see perfectly." Alex sighed and breathed in and out. "I know," he said. He kept his face covered. "Mr. Today told me." "Oh, that Marcus, what a stinker. He wasn't supposed to tell," Miss Octavia said with a laugh, but her eyes shone and soon she was weeping openly. "And now, Florence, oh dear Alex, you've been thoroughly wrung out in ways most of us will never understand." Alex couldn't speak. After a few minutes, as Captain Ahab guided the ship toward the south side of Pirate Island, Alex squeezed the end of one of Miss Octavia's tentacles and patted the top of it. "Thank you," he said. And then he sniffed, composed himself, and took his place at the bow of the ship to address the fractured team, for it was also his job to bring them together once more. The Bird's Eye View. It was back to business, and the first team was off to Pirate Island. Alex shoved his feelings aside, more determined than ever to not let anything get in the way of this mission. He could not mess up again. "Do you see anyone?" he whispered a short while later. "Not on the upper level," Skye said. She leaned over the skylight of the reverse aquarium, the glassed-in undersea island habitat that was built around a volcano. She scooped water and sand out of the shallow window to get a clearer look. Crow pushed in beside her, and Karina, who had seen Copper briefly on their last visit and knew what she looked like, crouched on the other side of the glass. Next to her was a large coil of rope, just in case they had a chance to make a fast rescue. Simba crouched on the rocks nearby. He ignored the others and stared to the west, sampling the air now and then. It was a long day with little activity on the upper level, just the occasional man or woman in dark trousers and brightly colored or white flouncy shirts. Some of the shirts were adorned with gold bars or symbols, and others were plain. Some of the men and women sported tattoos and scars, making them look quite dangerous. Now and then they saw women in elegant dresses, complete with petticoats and feathered hats that would make Mr. Appleblossom sigh in delight. But there was no sign of Copper in her dingy brown slave clothing. At nightfall, Simba carried Crow to the ship so he could sleep, but Skye refused to go, so Karina and Alex stayed with her. Their muscles ached from crouching all day. It was actually easier to see in the reverse aquarium in the dark, and now they could lean over the skylight without fear of casting a shadow and being discovered. The place was lit up, although Alex wasn't exactly sure how. He could see vertical tubes here and there that contained bubbling, glowing lava, but he wasn't sure if they were casting much light or if their primary purpose was for warmth. The constant slow movement of the globs of lava was quite relaxing and pleasant to watch. Almost too relaxing. Alex felt himself dozing off once or twice, but immediately forced himself to stay alert. He couldn't afford any more mistakes. He studied the layout. The top level, a good distance below them, was simply a suspended wooded planked walkway around the perimeter of the glass, leading to a single set of large doors. It wasn't well-traveled at all. That's where they'd seen Skye and Crow's mother the last time, when she told them that Warblerian hand signals and she was a slave. They'd watched her get taken away by a man with gold bars on his shirt. "What if they killed her?" Skye asked eventually. It had taken her all day to say it out loud, even though Alex knew she'd been worried about it ever since they'd seen her. No one knew the answer. Instead, they tried to memorize the layout of the open areas far below, where large leafy plants, vegetables, fruit trees, and flowers grew. And there was grass, too, with benches all around. People bustled about the common area, some strolling as if they were enjoying the scenery. Others stopping to pick up fruit that had fallen to the ground. Still others looking like they were headed somewhere important. "It looks like they think they're outside," Corinne mused. "I wonder how often they get out of this cage." Alex shook his head. "I don't know. I can't imagine they get out very often, except to fish." "Oh," Karina said, pointing. "There goes somebody out the fishing hatch now. See, one glass door slides open to let them into the holding space. When that inside door closes, the outside door slides open, and the water pours in over them, but they can hold on to a bar so they don't get swept away. And they've got mast of some sort to help them breathe." "Shh," Alex warned. He turned and looked expectantly at the shore nearest them. "He's right below the ground over there." "I don't think he can hear us if he's underwater," Skye said. Alex felt the blood rise to his cheeks. "I know. I meant in case he swims up to the surface or something." Skye elbowed him to let him know she was only teasing. She didn't like the tension between them, but Alex just gave an absent-minded smile and stayed focused on the scene below. "There's that playground where we saw the children," he said. That glass room was dark now. The rocks below them shuddered, making everyone tense up. The person who had gone out fishing hatch came back inside and quickly took off its gear as other people sprang into action inside the island. "I think that's our cue. We should go," Alex said. "Now." Nobody questioned him. "Captain, head out to sea immediately. We'll catch up," Alex called, knowing his voice would carry nicely over the water at night. Within seconds, Ahab, who was standing ready, had the ship pulling away from the volcano. The ground shook again, and Alex, Skye, and Karina hopped onto Simba's back. He took off into the air and they passed over the skylight. Alex could see people below scurrying to the walls, where seats dropped down, and the people sat down and strapped in, helping children first, then themselves. "So that's how they don't get hurt with all the plaguing and resurfacing," Alex said, pointing. "They feel the warning shivers just like we did, and they strap in for safety." Simba started heading for the ship. "Wait a second, please," Alex said a bit stiffly. It was uncomfortable speaking to Simba, as if they still felt like they were fighting, but Alex couldn't dwell on that now. "How do you feel about hovering over the volcano while it sinks? Maybe we can see what happens." "Yes," Karina said. "What do you think, Simba? Is it safe?" Skye looked on with interest. Everybody wanted to know more about the workings of the strange island.
"As long as no fire shoots out when it descends, we should be safe and hidden from view."
"And," Alex said, "we'll be able to see down the hole because it's all lit up. At least until the water covers it. Plus, we've never thought to fly over the top to see where that fire comes from." He grew more excited. "I don't think it spews any fire at all when it goes down, does it, guys?" Karina and Skye shook their heads.
"I don't think so," Skye said. "Only when it comes back up. Almost as if the heat inside builds up with pressure of the water over it. And..." She paused, thinking, maybe that's what raises the island. The fire under the surface builds up until it lifts the volcano. It explodes and stays above the surface until it cools sufficiently, and then goes back down again where the process starts over.
Alex, forgetting himself for just a moment, gave her an admiring glance.
Wow, he said a little breathless. Even if she turned out to be wrong, she sounded really smart.
That's a good theory, Karina said.
Thank you, Skye said. Let's watch.
Simba flew up above the top of the volcano. From here, everyone could see the rectangle of light coming from the skylight where they had been stationed. And because it was dark out, they could see a few other skylights as well as hidden around the volcano.
Look, Alex said, pointing them out. Over there. That's near where the sea creatures are.
Simba flew above the skylight on the opposite side of the island and dropped down a bit so they could get a better look. But soon the volcano rumbled once more and Simba pulled away. Still, the Artemans could see, almost like looking through a porthole, an entire vat of sea beasts swimming around one another in very tight quarters. For once, the small group was stunned silent. An entire quarter of the glass cage was taken up by a giant squid with wistful eyes the size of Artemis' largest serving platters. A long, beefy tentacle splayed against the glass, as if there was a chance he might will himself to the other side. If he sat upon the mansion in Artemis, his long tentacles might reach the ground. In another corner was a beautiful, long-necked sea monster, with stout legs and flipper-like feet. As she moved, several humps along her back rose and fell in a rippling pattern. There were some smaller creatures, too, swimming or floating about. Alex, Karina, Skye, and Simba all stared. Suddenly, light flickered near the aquarium, and the creatures inside all startled and moved away from one side of their prison. A familiar shape came into view just as the volcano shuddered harder, threatening to plunge beneath the sea. It was the giant eel, curling up like a bedspring outside the aquarium. With a touch of its electric tail to switch on the glass, a door slid open. In one swift movement, the eel unfurled, and a new creature toppled into the cage. The door stood closed, and the eel shot out of sight, leaving the captured creature to marvel over their new cellmate. Karina gasped. It was Florence. Her ebony body sank to the bottom of the glass cage, and she didn't move. Alex shouted. Simba growled, and the volcano groaned. Shaking violently, the entire island and all its inhabitants and attachments plunged into the sea.